That's the kind of activity you can expect from... This is the Padded Room Podcast. My name is Darian Multiple Michaels.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, man?
Oh, just a whole nother hot day.
It is, right? What, 102, 103?
It's at least 100.
It's dry heat, too, here in northern Nevada, which makes it worse, I feel like, right?
I'd much rather have this than the humidity.
I got 100 flat.
And my car over is, well, whatever, 100, 102.
I'll take the humidity over the dry heat.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, no way. I mean, no, I'm not kidding you.
No.
Yeah.
You can't walk outside in that humid.
It's good, though. It's moist. At least it's moist.
It's like the air is just weighing you
this
down.
This weather right here turn you into beef jerky. Dry you out. Dry you out. Salt you. Pepper you. Before you know it, you're getting eaten by Sasquatch, dude. Don't want it.
Sasquatch is throwing your trailer over.
Trying to get at your beef jerky ass.
It's just because you pranked him with the shaving cream. The
shaving cream? It's bad. It's bad business, man. Don't be messing with Sasquatch.
Be punking that squatch.
God, come on. Damn it. Yeah, what's that, man? I'm tired, dude. This baby is kicking the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I'm averaging about 3 hours of sleep a night, if I'm lucky. Not to mention I got a house full of in-laws. And I keep getting dragged into this in-law attention time suck thing. It's like a vortex of my time. Let me tell you what happens. I'll be in the bedroom or I'll be in the bathroom or something, trying to get something accomplished. And then my wife will come in and say, "Hey, why don't you come out here and visit? You want to visit? Let's visit. Let's just sit and visit for a while." And then I come out to wherever they are, and we all just get into a kumbaya circle and stare at the baby. And then the hands on the clock start going, bzzz, the hours are flying by.
I thought they'd be going backwards.
That's what it feels like sometimes.
Stand still.
Jesus Christ, it's Wednesday again. I hate it, man.
Time warp.
It's not fun at all. I got to quit doing that. And then my wife guilts me into it. Why don't you come visit with everybody? Let's visit. I'm now on an anti-visitation campaign. There'll be no more visiting. How much visiting? You're staying at my house for a month. How much more visitation do you need than staying at my house for a month?
You gotta put a sign outside your bedroom.
No visitation.
Visiting hours from
4 to 4:07 p.m.
All other times, leave me alone.
Leave me the fuck alone, please.
Oh, it's good for you.
No, it's not, sir. It drives me crazy.
How about that babies, though?
I love the babies. Baby's okay. Baby minds his own business.
Right?
It's everybody else I have a problem with. God damn it. Yesterday, I got so fucking crazy, I mowed the lawn and trimmed the hedges. I never do that. I spent 15 minutes in the in-law time suck, and I was like, fuck, I gotta go! I'm out of here. I'll be in the front lawn.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my life.
Yeah, the lawnmower's good. Drowns out any visitation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What's that? I can't hear you. God, driving me crazy. Anyway, what's up with you, man? Anything cool?
No. School's hitting hard.
Yeah? How's school going?
Fucking 8 a.m. class, dude.
Why would you do that?
Because I'm an idiot.
You don't? I mean, I could see it if you were working like in the afternoon. How long is a class? 2 hours? 1 hour?
Yeah, it's a 2 hour class.
Oh, God.
8 to 10:10.
Oh God!
And then I get home about 10:30, and it's like there's nothing to do. How about I take a nap?
And then you're out for the rest of the day.
Then I'm done till like 2 in the afternoon.
Yep.
And I wake up and I'm like, oh, shit.
And then you can't sleep that night because you fucking took a nap. It's a pain in the, ass. I feel you, man.
So no more 8 a.m. classes in the future. I don't think I'm going to do that again.
It looks good on paper because you're like, oh, I'll get it done, knocked out.
That's what I figured going in. First thing in the morning.
And then I got the rest of my day to do whatever I do.
Make me be active in the morning. Come home from class and I just and forget everything I learned.
So tired. That's why I was a horrible student in high school.
Yeah.
Because you got to get up at like 5:30, try to sleep on the bus. You can't because everybody's a loud asshole. And you get to school and you have to listen to the most boring crap ever for 6 hours. Fuck no, I can't pay attention to you. I can't even keep my eyes open. And even if I could, they'd be glued to the chick's ass in the row in front of me. So no, I'll not be paying attention. All right, enough of the horse shit, man. Let's get into some listener mail and such.
Oh, we got some mail?
Or we should probably do horror news first. You got any horror news?
I got nothing for horror news.
Perfect, I got plenty.
You got chock full horror news.
Action-packed. I'm running afoul with horror news.
Horror news.
How did you feel about the Gremlins? Terradome notwithstanding.
Is that the Mogwais?
Yeah.
I liked them. It didn't really scare me. I didn't go into it as a horror movie.
No, you can't, right? It's more like a cheeky, funny,
yeah,
kind of adolescent little romp.
Yeah, maybe it's like an introduction into the horror genre for little kids.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see how once they turn into the green things,
yeah,
and they could be minorly frightening. Chris Columbus set to produce a Gremlins reboot or sequel. Do we need that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I really don't think so.
I didn't really care. Even when I was a kid, I didn't really care for the Gremlins.
I like, you know, the Gremlins were fine when they got wet and they turned into
the green guys, yeah.
What was that? What was that little hero?
Gizmo.
Gizmo.
Yeah.
I did like me some Gizmo.
I didn't care for him.
No?
No.
You don't like the Gizmo?
No.
Oh, come on. No. He's cute. He's
cuddly. That's the problem right there. He's adorable. That's the problem. He's too fucking cute. You hit a certain level of cutitude where it just goes from being cutesy to being annoying, and I want you out of my face. Anyway, Chris Columbus set to produce a Gremlin. It could be a reboot or a sequel.
All right.
Probably, I don't know. They do that thing these days where it's like both at the same time, like with the Evil Dead.
Well, that was the Evil Dead, too.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on here? I don't know.
It could have.
More in the Mountains of Madness news, Guillermo del Toro has announced that he will also do an R-rated cut of the film, like a director's cut. Now, I was thinking about that. It's kind of weird because if you're going to stay true to the source material, then you kind of have to go PG. It's H.P. Lovecraft. It was written in the 1920s. There's not a lot of fucks and shits and tits involved in it, although I wouldn't be opposed to that. But if you're going to stay true to the meat and potatoes of the material there, you probably have to go PG.
Well, has he said what's going to make it R?
No. I imagine like it'll probably be gore and probably some violence.
A little cussing.
Some
curse words.
Foul language.
Foul mouth.
you lit liquor. You Cody Queen. What else we got here? Darren Lynn Bousman. Remember this dude?
No.
Directed Saws 3 and 4, and also Repo, the Genetic Opera.
Okay.
Also did the Mother's Day remake. He is set to direct a movie called Apex, and it's a Predator-esque sci-fi situation. Basically, you have a team of special operatives that get sent to North Korea to remove a weapon of mass destruction. Somehow they get pulled into extra dimension, and chaos and gunfire ensues from there, I'm sure. There'll be a lot of running, jumping, maybe a punch or a kick thrown.
Flying roundhouse.
Could be like swinging from a chain or some
kind. Are we going to get an all-star cast like Predator?
Doubt it. Darren, it's probably going to be a low-budget situation, but you never know. He does good work, I think, this Darren Lynn Bousman. So, something to look forward to. What else we got here? Hey, do you know the name Taylor Kitsch?
Yes. Why does that sound familiar?
He played X-Men. Gambit in the Wolverine movie.
Okay.
Handsome Devil, that guy.
He's got something else out, I think.
He's done a few other big-name movies. I think he was in the Tron redo.
Well, I think he's in something currently that's in theaters.
Well, I was about to say that he is in talks to star along Colin Farrell in True Detective Season 2.
Really?
You got to get on board the True Detective.
The first season was what? Matthew McConaughey.
And Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, I caught a couple episodes of that. Fucking good.
Why? Let me ask you a question. Well, I probably already know the answer. Why does everybody hate Matthew McConaughey?
I don't hate him.
I don't hate him either. But like, listen to other podcasts, you're like, that guy's a fucking homo. Why is it? I think I know why.
I don't know.
I think I know why.
Why?
Well, he's done a lot of. He's played a lot of douchebags. Who do you got? You got Magic Mike, which I've yet to see. You got
But he was only in like minutes of that.
Was he?
He wasn't in that very much.
We were in.
I was all about the Channing Tatums.
Channing Tatums.
And then they're doing a sequel to that.
Oh god damn it. We were on our honeymoon, right?
Uh-huh.
And we had like the pay-per-view channel in the Bahamas, yeah. And they kept playing commercials for Magic Mike over and over and over again. And my wife's like, let's just stay in and we'll just watch it. We ended up watching it because there's a fucking hurricane going on outside. Right. And there's that stupid god fucking shitbag scene where he's walking around and he's like getting in a fight with his girlfriend and he's like, is this really happening? Am I really Magic Mike and we're getting in a fight right now? Is this really our first fight? So for the rest of the honeymoon, babe, I have to go to the bathroom. Are you really going to the bathroom right now? We're on a honeymoon and you're going to the bathroom?
Is this really happening right now?
Is this really happening in the Bahamas? You're going to the bathroom in the Bahamas right now? She ended up hitting me with her purse. Anyway, I think the reason everybody hates Matthew McConaughey is because we all know he could fuck our wives and our girlfriends.
Yeah.
That's about all there is to it.
And we wouldn't stand a chance.
Not a chance. That dude comes around with his glistening six-pack.
Oh, he knocks on your door tomorrow. Daly's gone.
Gone. Peace out, babe. You know? I'll be a single dad.
What I like about these high school women.
I'm excited, man. I'm looking forward to season two of True Detective. There's a heavy Lovecraft theme in there.
I thought I heard Brad Pitt was supposed to be in the new season.
I heard rumors of that.
So that's a no-go.
It's well, it's not confirmed. Colin Farrell's confirmed. He's a handsome devil himself.
Is this Taylor Kitsch guy confirmed?
He's in talks right now. So
wonder what happened to the Pitts.
I don't know. It's the Pitts, man. What else we got here? Vin Diesel and Rose Leslie starring in a supernatural action film called The Last Witch Hunter. Modern day, set in modern day New York. Vin Diesel is a witch hunter, the last witch hunter, I assume.
Okay.
And he is hunting a witch. And Rose Leslie, do you know the name Rose Leslie?
No.
For all you Game of Thrones fans, she was Ingot. She's pretty hot, hot little number there.
You know who I like is that Khaleesi.
Daenerys Stormborn.
With the dragons?
She's a bad bitch. You see the first season? She gets a little... There's a little rapey going on there.
All right. Well, I'll know what I'm watching tonight.
Anyway, The Last Witch Hunter. Vin Diesel, Rose Leslie. Check that out, I guess. Sounds pretty good. What the... He really needs like a staple franchise, that guy. I mean, other than Fast and the Furious.
Well, he had to Pitch Dark or to Pitch Black.
Pitch Dark.
Pitch Dark.
Yeah, he had that going. The Riddicks.
Yeah.
That kind of petered out, though.
Can't peter out.
Nope. Can't
Once
be petering.
Once you peter, start petering.
Then it's just a downward peter. That's all I got for horror news, dude. Let's get into some listener mail and such, eh?
Yep.
Eh?
Let's hear from them inmates.
Listener mail.
Got a few things going on this week. We got the emails, the voicemails, the whole shit. Started off with Sean G over at angrygnomecomics.com. No subject line.
Oh.
That means some serious business going
on. Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts. First off, congrats on the baby, Darian. My daughter turns 2 at the end of July. Hopefully you'll get more sleep during the first year than we did. Sure doesn't fucking feel like it right now, man.
Don't expect it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it at all.
Do not expect it.
Saw is one of my favorite movie franchises. Just like any other, it has its weak entries, but overall it was a well-done series. Every year my wife and I would go to the theater to see the new Saw movie for her birthday. That's pretty sweet. In the Terror Dome we go. Alrighty. In singles, Jigsaw would find a way to capture Samara and use her in his traps. Jigsaw for the win. I had a feeling Sean was going to go that route. I have to admit, I have not seen the Blind Dead films, but the Gremlins would take the win here. Surely they're more about having fun causing mayhem rather than killing. But if they perceive the Blind Dead as a threat, I could see the Gremlins turning violent rather quickly. Congrats on the baby again, Sean. Fucking Gremlins.
Gremlins?
I hate the Gremlins.
What?
Voicemail, here comes Crease. Subject line, something for nerdy werewolves. So it's a little buggy right now, but as a RPGs nerd, I'm going to stick with it. Fit RPG, an app that syncs with the Fitbit app that makes a character of your Fitbit stats, steps, sleep, and workout logs. I find myself pacing instead of standing still and waiting, being active on work breaks, all just to level up my character. That sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, right? Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty cool. I just saw the little screenshots of the app.
Yeah?
Basically, it tracks like your steps, and how like your runs or whatever, your reps. And like you like a character, and you're leveling them up in like real life.
Yeah?
As the more you work out, the more leveled up your character
gets. You get to like fight dragons or anything?
I don't know how that works.
Okay.
But I think you get to armor yourself with different weapons if you get like strong enough or some shit like that.
You get to like have a pizza every now and then. Character just had a pizza. I think I'll get one myself.
Character loses two levels.
God damn it. I suggest other nerds try it out. You know, there was something like that for the Nike GPS, but you had to have the fuel band to do it. And it was cool because they had like celebrity athletes as characters.
Mm-hmm.
I think Adrian Peterson was on there.
Oh, cool.
And I think Tim Lincecum and Joakim Noah. I don't know. There was some other guys on there.
What does this one, Crease's, say?
Fit RPG? It's called the Fit RPG, an app that syncs with the Fitbit app.
So you got to get two apps?
You got to get the Fitbit first.
Which is an app?
No. It's that thing that goes on your wrist.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out too, man. Sorry. Up next, Irma Gersh. Saw franchise being chastised by Crack House Matt. Oh, boy.
There we go.
Okay, first off, am I the only one that got chastised by Crack House Matt for voting against Pinnerhead? No, I actually talked to Crack House Matt earlier in the week. He's very upset.
He should be.
He texted me, and I quote, "Oh, hey, fuck you, by the way, for voting for Predator and helping knock my horse out. Ass." After a brief response of, you know, I love you, he replies, "That may be true, but I'd fuck your best friend for pulling a stunt like that." Wow!
Yikes.
Wow!
Yikes.
He's taking this way too seriously.
Coming at him with the penis.
Oh boy, not sure how to explain this one to Super Queer. As for Saw, I freaking love that franchise up until the last one. God, what a mess that was. The only good part of that movie was watching Chester Bennington, singer for Stinkin' Fart, get super glued to the car seat and then peeled away from it. Is there really a band called Stinkin' Fart?
Wouldn't surprise me.
I'm going to have to look into that now.
I didn't see that last Saw.
You didn't see the last one? It's pretty. It's not very good.
That's what I hear.
Other than that, it was most horrible experience.
Most horrible experience.
I decree it to be most unpleasant. I figured with WWE Studios having done Barricade, it would have been pretty decent. Judging from reviews, though, good thing I didn't bother with it. Hopefully, See No Evil 2 is good, though. I like the first one. Terradome picks. Jigsaw over Samara. I agree. Blind Dead over the Gremlins. I agree with you, too. I think that's the first time ever that Gersh and I have voted same in the Terradome.
Right.
Company of Wolves. Well, this week, every night after work, myself, the Ninja, and Brenna have been out going on 4 miles walking.
There you go.
Now, I'm not sure if that's the cause or from the super long hours at work, but my goddamn knee is swollen up and squishy. Yeah.
Hmm.
If it keeps up, the pack may lose a cub for some time. At this point, I'm almost sure full-blown double knee surgeries are in order. Too far gone for any more cortisone shots, plus those actually do more harm than good over time. Damn it, Pac, I let you down. That's it. Better get out of here. Remember, be good to each other. And for my broski, I have this to say. Deuces, 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 deuces.
Yeah.
Hippity hoppity, Gersh is out of the house.
Speaking of text, he sent me a text shortly after, I assume shortly after he listened to that episode where I got on him about saying
deuces.
I get a text from Gersh, like, I can't remember when, but it just says, deuces, LOL. Like, you ass.
He's got your number, dude. Let's see what we got here. Uh-oh, here he comes. Crackhouse Matt. Subject line, I'm out. He may have had it with us this time. Well, ain't that a bunch of fucking horse shit? Seriously, Predator over Pinhead? The only one I can give some latitude on that vote is GP, since Predator was his horse. I get it, everyone always wants to see the champ fall, but come on! I'd like someone to explain to me how exactly it is that Predator would beat Pinhead. Pinhead is from hell, for fuck's sake. You know, I would have accepted a loss to Jigsaw, since I think he was smart enough to figure out the Lament configuration, being an acclaimed engineer and all, but Predator? Damn, son, that's a tough way to go out. You know, I wouldn't be ashamed of a loss to Predator.
No.
I mean, Predator's he's a tough, trained tough guy. He's a tough dude. I have decided that because of this devastating outcome that I need to take a week off and head to the Caribbean to clear my mind. I think I should get to go to the Caribbean.
Yeah,
to clear
how come my you get mind. To go?
God damn it.
I want to go with you to Caribbean.
I'll be sipping pina coladas and swimming in crystal clear waters while I lament my loss.
Nice.
But alas, the show must go on. A little birdie told me that Irma Gersh and some words for me this week in the listener mail section. My retort to whatever it is he said is, he can go fist himself and then grab a spoon and eat my ass. Oh, things are heating up.
Sounds like dinner served, Gershie.
Oh, God. This is getting juvenile. Pterodome picks this week, taking my boy Jigsaw over Samara. Running away with that one. I think with a good amount of time to plan, the only thing that can beat Jigsaw is cancer. He's got a point there. As far as teams go, I will take the Blind Dead over the Gremlins.
Oh.
Very nice. Next week's picks, whilst I am doing my best Captain Jack Sparrow impression, I'm not going to read these yet. But next week's picks are noted. Matt, I'm not going to read them just yet because we haven't announced those fights yet. You all take care and try not to burn the house down while I'm gone. Crack House Matt out.
Yeah.
Thanks for writing in, Matt. You crazy bastard.
Enjoy the Caribbean.
Yeah. Have fun.
You ass.
You asshole. Thanks for not taking us.
Yeah, what the hell?
I would at least like to have been invited, right?
Just throw the invite. You know, and I you, can't go.
I can't go either, but I
you
would
know
like,
I can't go.
I would like to know that you're thinking about
just
me while
an
you're
invite our
in
way.
The Caribbean.
Come on.
Swimming in crystal waters, sipping pina coladas, you asshole. Crease coming in again. Subject line, Pterodome. So this is a rather difficult decision. I love my girl Sadako, or Samara, but generally, if you're smart enough, you can figure out how to defeat her. So my vote goes for Jigsaw.
Running away with that one.
Yes, he is. So, I don't really know much about the Blind Dead, but I can't imagine them not killing off the Gremlins based on numbers and motivation. If I remember previews correctly, people actually die in the Blind Dead films, whereas a person or two might have died in each Gremlin film, at least by direct murderous intent. Vote goes to the Blind Dead. Thank you for that. And that was it for Crease. Crease coming in again. Subject line. I'm sure the inmates were smart enough for this one. Yeah, you never know with these people.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
The Returned. Or trick horror fans into watching a movie about the AIDS crisis. Aside from the ending, the movie was exactly that and nothing else. Of course, heightened a little to keep it action-y. If you want to argue with me, you'd be wrong. Wow. Pretty sure of herself, this Crease. There is the unmistakable comment of rounding them up and putting them in their own colony, a very infamous statement from that era. For a horror movie that has a better hidden message, watch a trailer for Dear White People. Very cool. Sent from my iPhone. That was it for Crease. We got a couple of voicemails here.
All right.
GP and Alan, I suppose.
I'm assuming. Maybe it's Bagul.
Could be. How cool would that be?
Although he doesn't have no mouth to talk.
He doesn't talk, but maybe like Morse code or something. Just hang out outside your window.
Dude, just wake up in the middle of the night, come out here.
Forget it.
There's Bagul looking in your window.
I'm just going to close the blinds and go back to bed.
I'm going to probably die.
Here comes somebody.
Added room. JP.
Night.
Doing in and out because I'm on my way to the Cape of the Cod for my vacation. So I will take Sig Sol over Samara, and just because I love y'all, I'm going to do Gremlins over the Blind Dead because they're more fun. That's it. See you later. Bye.
Fuck off.
Gremlins are more fun.
You can't vote based on who's more fun.
Well,
this is combat. This isn't popularity contest.
Well,
come on, people.
Come on, Pinhead already lost.
I know.
You gotta have some fun.
There's no
There's no fun in the Terror Dome.
It's not fun.
There's no crying at baseball.
This must be Alan.
Padded room. What's up? Terror Dome picks. I'm going to go with Jigsaw and the Gremlins. The Blind Dead are just so freaking slow.
They are. That's true.
Anyway, it's been a while, but I'm going to talk about this later or earlier or whatever. I started watching Escape from Tomorrow. And I was really digging it. And I was like, this is...
You're going to have to explain that
this
to
is
me.
I don't know. I was enjoying it as a Descent into Madness thing. I liked watching this. You know, it was making me uncomfortable. I'm watching this, like, perfect family fall apart. And that kind of stuff can get to me for some reason. And then the dude wakes up in Epcot Center, and there's robots and stuff. Yeah, that was stupid. And it lost me there, so... I understand why nobody really likes that movie. Like I said, it had so much potential. And I mean, I love the idea of filming at Disney. And as far as, like, cemeteries at Disney, I don't know if it's the case. I do know people have dumped their loved ones' ashes
in all over the mansion. Place, I'm sure.
And I've also heard that no one is declared dead inside a Disney park.
Really?
You know, like, someone could be decapitated on a ride or whatever, they have enough sway or whatever to have them declared dead outside the park. Like, don't know if that's true or not, but I've always heard that.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Y'all have a good one. Bye.
Beautiful. Alan dropping knowledge.
Well, that's tricky then.
It is. It wouldn't make sense, right? Because you don't want anybody's place of death to be Disneyland.
That's true.
Or Disney World.
But I don't know.
I got a little business to take care of with Alan here real quick before we move it along. Alan and the Carnival Circus have a couple of dates coming up. I thought I'd bring that up real quick.
Oh!
Speaking of which, dude, this whole Final Equinox thing we're firing up, there's going to be some collaborations coming down the line.
Oh.
I don't want to get too much into it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our next two shows, August 16th at Douse House, and we got another one August 31st at the High Note. I'm assuming both those places are somewhere in the Alabama area, since that's where Alan always writes and calls in from. So if you want to see the Carnival Circus on the 16th of August, go to Douse House. Or on the 31st, go to High Note.
There you go.
Watch these guys drill holes in each other's heads. It's amazing. Go
check them out. What?
You're going to want to see that before you don't see that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here to tell you, my friends. All right, dude. Let's get into a movie, huh?
Let's do it.
Do it.
Ah, jeez. It's a hell of a movie.
Local family found earlier this week.
I didn't want to move here.
We couldn't afford to live in the old house anymore. Plus, the new story I'm writing is here.
Is the story a good one this time?
I'm gonna write the best book that anybody's ever read.
I got a really good feeling about this.
You gotta be kidding me. Family hanging out. Barbecue 79. That's the family who lived here.
You think these are serial murders?
I don't know.
First one I found dates back to the 60s. The only link between all these cases is the symbol.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. He consumes the souls of human children.
I have never been onto something this big before.
Early Christians believed that Bagul actually lived in the images themselves and that they were gateways into his realm. Children exposed to the images were especially vulnerable to Bagul's abduction.
Sweetheart, what are you doing?
Painting. I wanted to paint her picture.
Who are you talking about?
Stephanie. She's delivering.
Trevor?
What's the matter? What's happened?
Get the kids. Pack the car. We have to leave here now.
Yeah, we're talking about Sinister.
Ooh.
From 2012, starring Ethan Hawke, Juliet Rylance, and James Ransone, written and directed by Scott Derrickson. This is a bad motherfucker right here, inmates. You've probably seen it. Basically, your movie starts. You start off with this 8mm footage. That is the worst. When is 8mm footage a good idea? Never.
Well, it's a tell. You know something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no good.
That's no good. You start off with eight. Now, what this the first 8mm footage is, you got four people tied to a tree by their necks, tree branch. They're not hanging.
They're standing on the ground there.
Right. They got their feet on the ground, but the tree branch is leveraged to another tree branch. So out of the back of the tree comes this landscaping thing, and then the branch gets sawed off, and then they get lifted up and hung by their necks. Whole family. Mom, dad, two kids.
Yep.
Bad business, dude. Fucking 8mm footage, man. Creepy. The only thing it's good for is 70s porn and snuff films at this point.
Yeah.
So
our culture has come to.
If I find like an 8mm roll, I'm not watching it unless I have a hard on or something. I don't know. Might hit the jackpot. You never know, right? That's where your movie started. Now, after that, we get a jump cut to the young writer Ethan Hawke. I believe his name was Ellison.
Present day, yeah. It's Ellison Oswald.
Ellison, that sounds like a writer, too, doesn't
Ellison
it?
Ellison Oswald.
He's moving into a new house. He's got his wife, his 12-year-old son, and slightly younger daughter. She's probably about 8 or 9. Fairly eclectic family there, I'd say. Yeah. Ellison has written a series of crime novels.
Yeah, his reputation
precedes him. And they have made him not very popular at all with law enforcement of any kind. That sucks because, like, the second he starts moving in, the law enforcement people start just showing up and, like, giving him the hard line, questioning him and...
What's not?
Yeah, so the cops show up as he's taking the boxes out of the car, and they start giving him a hard time immediately. Apparently, it wasn't ever actually stated, but I think there were some implications made that one of his books may have gotten a killer out of jail by presenting new evidence or something like that. It's kind of the vibe I got there.
Well, yeah, the sheriff confronts him, and Ethan Hawke's like, can I help you with anything? The sheriff, he's like, well, not unless you... And load up these boxes and get out of town.
Just move somewhere else where I don't have to look at you.
But I believe it's in that sequence where him and the sheriff are going back and forth, and Ethan Hawke talks about how, you know, he helped with one of the mysteries or whatever, and
right.
Then the sheriff comes back with, well, then this other one you wrote helped to, you know, let a guilty man go free or some shit like
right.
that.
Right. So basically, what we're finding out in this exchange is that Ethan Hawke is basically just bought the house that was a crime scene where we just saw the family get hanged by the tree. Funny thing about that family, though, is there was actually three kids, which means we have a missing girl.
Yep.
That's kind of creepy.
And this is the story that Ethan Hawke's writing on.
Yeah, he wants to gather some evidence and interviews.
I guess his end game is trying to find out where this little girl is.
Yeah, or at least put together a solid theory.
Because the sheriff is, you know, thinking that the girl's dead.
Well, of course. I mean, at this point, she's been missing for a couple of years, I think they stated.
Yeah, and so Ethan Hawke doesn't believe that, so he's out to find out the true story.
So he sets about unloading the boxes there, getting everything unpacked. Gets up in the attic where he finds a box of 8mm footage.
Throw it out the window. No.
Just keep it in the box and fire it across the way there.
Well, first he finds a scorpion.
Well, yeah, there's that.
You think it's that scorpion that left that box of footage?
It could be.
A scorpion set him up.
That's a shifty fucking scorpion right there.
Sinister scorpion.
Sinister scorpions.
Well, he smashes it.
Yeah.
With his crate. But, oh, no. You find a box.
Says home movies on home, it. Now, here's the thing about the box of home movies. He has actual crime scene photographs. He knows that there shouldn't be anything in that attic. He goes up in the attic, sure as shit, there's a box of home movies. Mm. Now, being the investigative crime author that he is, of course he's going to watch the fucking things. And that's where we get more execution-style 8mm footage of these different family. Oh, dude. These are probably the worst possible ways to die.
What is there, five, right?
Yes. You had...
He starts off watching the one in his house.
Yeah, that's the tree.
In the backyard.
Yeah.
It didn't happen here.
It happened in the backyard.
When you say here, I mean not right where I'm standing
here
in the bedroom.
Space that I'm occupying.
Just in the backyard.
So, yeah.
Well, we should mention his wife has no idea.
No, she's complete. She doesn't know that this is a crime scene they just bought.
And the kids are going to school.
They're
going to
find out the hard
way. The older
way.
Boy there, he you know, he's going to find out through hearsay.
Yeah.
That he's living in that murder family's house.
So he watches, he basically runs through the 8mm footage. First one, of course, is the actual crime footage from his house where the family gets hung by the tree. Second one, as I recall, is a fishing trip down by a river. And then they all have these creepy labels. I think the one at his house was like tree party or something like that. And then the next one was the barbecue. And that was where the family is chained up in the car. And then the kid lights the car on fire. And then the
pool party.
Third one was pool party, where the family gets chained to the
lawn chairs
and dragged into the pool. Oh. And then the fourth one was sleepy time. That's where everybody gets their necks cut while they're laying in bed.
Well, they're strapped to bed.
Yeah, and then the last one, which we don't see till later, is lawn work or something like that.
Yeah, I don't recall the name of that one.
I think it was like lawn work or lawnmower, something. It had something to do with the lawn.
Well,
that's probably
had something to do with the lawnmower.
Probably
is what it had
the
to do.
Worst one, dude. These are horrible ways to die.
Good lord!
And all these people are like conscious and struggling as they're dying.
Like I'd say, the top five ways to die are presented in these movies:
being burned alive,
drowned, hung, slit your throat.
They
slit.
Probably had it the easiest.
That was probably, I mean, that's probably ranked five.
Yeah.
And then, the fifth one, lawn work or whatever we're calling it.
Oh, God damn it.
And that presentation, that was fucking good.
Oh, God.
The way that came at
you. The jump scare there.
I remember in the theater, I was working in the theater at the time.
People freaking out.
And I would go into the theater just at the right time.
Popcorn flying.
And fucking try to gauge the reaction from the audience. Because at the time, I knew what was coming. Yeah. I had seen it already. And so I kind of like gauge the audience reaction. It was fucking well done.
Yeah, dude.
That's the shit we got to try to master.
Yeah. So what's happening now? Now, he has a moment of, you know, clarity there. And he's like, okay, I've got some crime scene footage here. I should call the cops because this is, you know, this is evidence. Picks up the phone, starts dialing. Then he starts looking around his office, starts remembering that he hasn't written a decent book in a while. Maybe I'll just hold off on making that phone call for a minute there, Billy. From there, we get kind of into this paranoia stage where we're getting a lot of weird sounds from around the house. He keeps getting woken up in the middle of the night. The situation between him and his family is deteriorating as the kids are starting to learn more about this from their friends at school. Things kind of culminate when the 12-year-old son, who is apparently afflicted with night terrors, draws the picture at school of the family being hung on the tree. You know, teacher's got to get involved. Mom gets involved. She's all fired up. Something that's very cool, though, that I'm considering doing with my kid is allowing him to paint his own room however he wants, as long as he doesn't grow up to be a fuckface. Because I don't want to go in there and see cock and balls and fuck you all over the wall, you know? Dad's a gay hole. Hey, I said you could draw pictures, not write words. And then I'll do that, and then the next day there'll be a stick figure with dad written over it, and then like a butthole, and then an equal sign. All right, you joker. Anyway, I thought that was pretty cool, but the problem is that his daughter is also drawing these renditions of the various executions on her wall. Mm. Now, mom at this point, who isn't quite aware that she's moved into a crime scene, believes that the kids are just getting into dad's office and looking at the evidence and the pictures and everything. Would make sense at this point, but round about this point in the film, things are really starting to amp up with the, I don't know, would you call it paranormal stuff around the house? Or do you think it's all in his head?
Well, what does he get up? Is this because he gets up frequent times in the middle of the night?
Yeah, and it's usually to sounds coming from the attic.
It's usually bumps in the attic.
But usually he just goes up there and he finds like a snake or another bug. Well, yeah,
he finds a snake the one time. Is that the same time he falls through?
Yeah, because he's trying to get away from the snake and he falls through the ceiling into the hallway.
Into the hallway. That's when he calls the cops for real, though.
Yeah, and they basically come over.
They come for medical.
Chastise him about squirrels having feet and not.
Well, then Deputy So-and-so sticks around.
Deputy So-and-so is the man.
He's pretty good.
I love me some Deputy So-and-so.
Pretty cool. He goes,
Dude.
You're staying in the house where they were murdered.
Scorpions don't have feet. I mean, they do have feet, but they're not making, like, footsteps. Well,
scorpions have feet, but they're not big enough to make the thumps.
So, probably...
Pack of squirrels. Pack of squirrels get in here.
They definitely got some feet on them.
They can make some noises. And then the scene where Ethan Hawke tells him that he hasn't told his wife.
Yeah.
Deputy
So-and-so.
That's a conversation I do not want to have.
I don't know if I would tell my wife if I... I mean, I don't think I would actively seek out a piece of property that had that kind of a stigma attached to it. I mean, you could probably get it dirt cheap. But if I did, I don't know... I'd wait till we lived there like 5 years and everything was cool.
Well, that's the thing. Everything's not going to be cool.
It could be, you know. And then out of nowhere, oh, by the way, the guy blew his brains out in your bathroom. 5 years later.
Oh, yeah. Remember how we got this house for so cheap?
Yeah.
It's because somebody killed themselves where nice. We're sleeping.
Nice.
I figured I'd tell you that for a 5-year anniversary
yeah.
of moving in.
Yeah. So, here's the thing. He's doing more. He keeps watching the tapes over and over again, and he keeps getting hammered while he's doing it. You're kind of getting a deterioration of his mental state as this goes on. We notice as he's like piecing through these tapes, looking at different aspects of it, we notice a couple of things. First thing we notice is this weird symbol that shows up. It was painted in the hallway during sleepy time, and it was also painted on the hood of the car at the barbecue. It's kind of pentagram-esque, but there's kind of like some symbology in there. I couldn't really put it together. It kind of looked like a skull a little bit with like a beak.
But mask. Yeah, well, it's the deity symbol, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
He sends the picture to the professor there.
Yeah, eventually he gets a hold of a college professor's, some kind of a specialist in fucking...
Ancient civilizations. Ancient,
something like that, yeah. Played by Vincent D'Onofrio, who's a bad motherfucker. He kind of gets back to him, lets him know what this symbol is. And it's the symbol of this pagan deity... known as Bagul.
Mm-hmm.
This dude's a bad motherfucker.
Very obscure.
Eater of children, they call him.
He eats children.
Now, the story varies from civilization to civilization, but basically he's known as the eater of children or sometimes the corrupter of children. That basically the Catholic Church believes that somehow he is... he travels through the imagery. So if a child sees the image... then Bagul then gains access to him or her and can thus manipulate or just flat out eat them if he chooses. Well,
he traps their souls is what he does.
Yeah. So that's pretty nasty.
He lives in the images, yeah.
Now, that's pretty nasty, but, you know, Ethan Hawke's a crime writer. He's like, whatever.
Pretty skeptical.
Yeah, don't much care for this paranormal crap.
The whole paranormal.
But he's still going through the footage looking for more clues, and then we start to see this dude showing up in the footage.
Well, then he starts putting that piece together where this fucking thing.
This guy.
Well, he first notices it at pool party.
Yeah. Guy's under the water.
In the fucking water.
In the pool, at the bottom of the pool. Just moseying.
And he turns and looks up at the camera.
Yeah, just moseying.
And that's where Ethan Hawke pauses the 8mm film there and goes up to the screen.
Yeah, and then it burns up.
The fucking footage burns up.
Yeah.
So then he puts it on his Mac, his laptop.
And then he, like, frame by frames it, and then he gets the full-on shot of this dude. And then he starts going through the rest of the tapes, and this guy starts popping up on all the tapes. He starts
noticing him, and he's in all the footage.
He was in the bushes during the tree time thingy.
Yeah.
He was looking in the window, the garage. The
garage, where to burn him up. Is he in the mirror? In Sleepy Time?
I was going to say, I don't remember seeing him in Sleepy Time. Yeah, was he in there?
It's either out in the window or the mirror.
Okay.
When it goes up to I think it's the master bedroom there.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, he's in, like, I want to say the window, probably.
This dude is fucking gnarly. I don't want him coming to my house. He's got, like, a skull mask thing, no mouth, just, like, big evil eyes, and he's got, like, a rock star haircut, and he runs around in, like, some kind of a black robe thing, right? Mm-hmm. Fuck that guy. Don't come over here.
Where was he in Lawnmower?
You don't get to see him in Lawnmower, I don't think. Because
we don't see that one till later.
And you only see the one kill in Lawnmower.
Well, that's the one where he's whoever's taking the video. Well, we find out who's taking the videos.
Yeah.
But he's peeking through the window outside.
Yeah.
The peep of Tom action.
Little creeper. And then fires up the lawnmower.
Cuts to the lawnmower.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you, Lawnmower.
Are you sure we don't?
We might. I mean, it's all pretty jumbled together.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's pretty gnarly.
So then Ethan Hawke, are we to where he wakes up at, like, what, 3:23 in the morning?
And he's walking around the house with a baseball bat?
Well, no, he wakes up because he hears something out in the room, and it's the fucking film projector going.
Yeah, that happens like two or three times. What are you doing? Don't do that. Don't leave that on. I mean, he probably didn't. It probably turned itself on, but still.
That's no good.
You know, you get that flappy noise the projectors make.
Ugh.
And then and of course it's showing the footage that was taken at his place in the backyard. So that's creepy as shit. I don't care for it.
Well, then there's a scene where he prints out that picture.
Yeah.
Of Bagul in the bushes in his backyard.
Yeah.
And he holds it up to the window and he lowers the picture.
There he is.
In his reality, in there his he world. Is. Here he is looking at
there
him.
There he is.
Now, oh, shit.
What complicates things is the son, Trevor, and his night terrors. Because
that's the same.
He keeps getting out of fucking bed in the middle of the night and going off into weird places. He gets himself in that box first, and then he does like a backward somersault out of it.
Yeah, that's gnarly.
And then it culminates when he goes out into the bushes, and he's hanging around out there, and that's the time when Ellison thinks he finds Bagul out there. Goes out there with a baseball bat. It's Trevor hiding in the bushes.
Yeah.
Crazy bastard. Get out of here. So that's
where he runs in with the dog.
Yeah. That's kind of building to things. So about this time, Trevor or Ellison does what any sane individual does. Says, you know what? Fuck this shit. This is getting out of control. Throws all the tapes on the barbecue, fires them up, and says, okay, we're moving. We're out of here.
Well, no, he goes up in the attic again before this.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when he sees all the kids. Oh!
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, all the missing kids.
The kids are sitting there looking at the footage being played in his attic.
Yeah.
And then they turn to him. They're all painted up or whatever.
I think they're just dead. They got
that ghostly, whatever it is. They're fucking dead. They're ghosts.
Dead kids.
What are you going to do? And they turn to him. And do they give him one of these?
Might.
They give him the shh.
Yeah.
And then that's when Bagul says, hum!
Yeah.
Ow!
That, and then he goes flying down the stairs. He
falls down back asswards.
Yeah. Bad business.
And that's when he starts burning the shit.
I would too. That's what a sane individual does. You know what? Peace out.
You know what?
This is too creepy.
You can do that all you want.
Too creepy. Buys a new house. The second house, I think, is a lot nicer than the one they were in. And it's not a fucking crime scene, so that's good. Gets moved in over there. Deputy so-and-so calls him. Deputy so-and-so's been, like, doing a lot of homework on this, mm-hmm. trying to piece it all together. He says, "Dad, got this thing figured out. Now, here's the problem. Everybody that died in these different houses lived at the previous house before. So, the guy that got the family that got killed at your house, they lived at the other family's house before they moved here. You dig? So, basically, what Ellison has done is basically sped up Bagul's timeline
by moving out of the house.
He's now ready to rock and roll. Well, fuck me, but he doesn't believe in that shit anyway. Still unpacking, goes up to the attic. What does he find? Box of home movies! You fucked up now, buddy. You fucked it, right up.
That's where he just dumps it all over the place.
Just says, fuck him.
Just going to make a mess. But what he finds...
extended cuts.
Is a little manila envelope with, extended cuts.
Oh, no thank you.
Shit. No thank you. Just burn it again.
Director's cut of these goddamn snuff films.
That's when I suggest you just get caught in the loop of burning the footage.
Just keep moving.
Finding it in your attic. Burn the footage.
Keep moving.
Find it in your attic.
Get you a trailer. There's no attics and trailers, dude. Right? Get an RV. Go. Get a go backpacking or something. I don't know. Live do whatever you got to do. Yeah.
I'm going to live in a tent.
So now he starts putting together these extended cuts, and he's going to watch these now, even though he knows he fucking shouldn't. What we see in these extended cuts of the films, the original snuff films, we find out that the culprits behind all these family slayings are actually the missing kids. Mm-hmm. Bagul ain't doing shit. He's just a spectator.
Yep.
It's the missing kids. Well, I mean, theoretically, he would have somehow manipulated them into doing it or, possessed them or however you do.
Yeah.
But still, it's the goddamn kids that are killing the families. Son of a bitch. So, right about that time, he's, he finishes watching them all and he's like, oh, fuck me. And then he knows about the timeline with the moving out of the house. He goes to take a drink of coffee. Something in his fucking coffee.
Yep.
Looks like predator blood to me.
Oh, he just, took a big old swig of that predator blood.
Starts to get a little woozy. Gets dizzy and passes out there on the study floor. Wakes up. He's duct tape over the mouth. He's restrained. So is his wife and his son. His daughter is walking around with an 8mm camera and a fire axe.
Oi.
How do you think this equation ends?
Oi.
Not good. Tell you that right now. Not good at all. So, that's basically your movie in a nutshell.
It's kind of like Quentin Tarantino-esque where you show everything but the actual chopping of daddy.
Right. But we get the...
You build up, the daughter brings in the axe, kind of holds it up, and then you cut to her dragging it to the hallway.
It's all bloody.
And she's all bloody, and too.
She's painted all the walls in blood.
And then you cut to her doing little doodles.
Yeah.
On the desk. At the same time, the fucking screen is up and all the other kids are looking at her in the screen.
She on the desk, she's... Because this box that all these fucking things come in, the lid, on the flip side of the lid, you have like stick figure caricatures depicting the different desks.
Yeah.
So that's what she's adding hers mm-hmm. onto the flip side of the lid there.
It's mommy, daddy, and brother.
And they're all in pieces. Just
cut up in little pieces.
Yeah.
And so the other kids are in the movie... looking at her.
Yeah.
And so there's that kind of like reality warp there where like they can see her, but they're in the movie and she's finishing drawing. And then is that when he comes in?
Who?
Bagul comes in? Into the room. Yeah, because then the kids take off.
Yeah.
And the Bagul picks up little daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
And basically takes them into that fucking
world. Into the 8mm land. Bad business, dude. You find yourself on some 8mm footage, you're in trouble. Or you're about to get blown. Hopefully blown. Or you might be about to get in trouble for getting blown. I don't know how that works.
Either way,
it's bad business, dude. You don't want it.
It's no good.
I got a kill count of 18 on this one. That's five families in total down the drain. Sounds good for them. Right. That sucks. A good show, though, right?
Fuck yeah.
Dude, the soundtrack.
Oh, dude, the music when each of these 8mm films.
It's like distorted, and it almost feels like it's backwards or something. You said it sounded like they were counting.
Well, there was,
I think it was Barbecue.
No.
Could be wrong.
Maybe. Well, no, I think it was the last one, The Lawnmower.
Could be.
Pretty. Oh, but then it gets really silent.
Yeah.
Right before. And pretty just gnarly. You just see the lawnmower going, and
dude.
Oh, just got sliced up.
Dude. Bowl of spaghetti.
Dinner served.
You're done, buddy.
Oi.
See what I got here. 8mm footage, never a good thing. Senator Fred Thompson as the sheriff.
That
guy is an actual senator. 12-year-old boy looks like a hot 20-year-old woman.
Well, I remember seeing the previews for this before it came out.
I remember discussing them on the show.
They showed that scene.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a chick coming out of that box.
Yeah, I was like,
find out it's a 12-year-old boy.
There's a hot topless young lady. Oh.
I'm going to see this for a 12-year-old boy.
I'm now a sex predator. Awesome.
I have to register.
Write a bestseller or I'm leaving you. That's basically the edict that his wife makes to him.
Yeah, right.
And no pressure there at all.
No pressure there.
Burned in a car, freak in a box, big black dog, never a good thing. Vincent D'Onofrio as the professor. Deadkins, that was another badass sequence where he's just walking through the house in that dreamlike state.
That was, I think, wasn't that where he wakes up at three whatevers?
Yeah, and there's just like dead kids following him down the hallway.
That was one of the good scenes where the camera pans to his face, and then, there's that girl is looking at him.
Yeah, right over his shoulder.
And of course, we understand that he can't see him now.
No, but we can.
The kids are just kind of fucking with him.
Yeah.
Just running at him.
Stopping.
And just as he's about to turn around, they jump into the other room.
Yeah. Gnarly.
The kids just got to have fun.
It was like a slow motion feel.
Yeah, they slowed it down.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the kids are running at full speed, but they're not really moving very fast.
No.
But it was still pretty good.
Fuck
it. If I saw a box marked Home Movies, I would assume it was the Adult Swim cartoon.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty good show.
It's a good show.
I love that show.
Coach
McGurk. hey, Brennan. Can I borrow $25? I got a date tonight. No, I'm 8 years old.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Bagul looks like the lead singer of a Norwegian death metal band.
I can see that.
Second House was way nicer. That's what I got on Sinister, dude. Good show, right?
Hell yeah. Let me ask you this.
Go.
When is it, do you think, that...
I move out of the house?
Well, no, that Ellison is fucked. What does he do?
Moving out of the first house, right?
But do you think he's already fucked before that?
It could be, because you don't want to stay in that first house either. There's a bunch of weird shit going on in there. You can't stay there. It's going to make you crazy. Well,
because the tagline to the movie is, once you see him, nothing can save you.
Okay, so you're saying once he saw him on the footage... Then you're done.
That's what I don't know. Is it on the footage or is it when he fucking sees him in his backyard?
I don't know, dude.
Or
is it when the kids see him?
Or is it when he's on the laptop and Bagul fucking moves?
Looks at him.
Oh, no, thank you.
Shit.
But is it when he fucking opens that box at the very beginning? Is he already fucked?
I think it starts with the viewing of the first tape.
I can see that.
Because you can close that box. You can just say, you know, whatever.
But that temptation to see it.
I know. You want to, right? Because it could be porn.
It
could be some 70s bush porn. You know what I mean?
Because he even said that his wife
and kids are out of the house.
All his moving did was sped up the process.
Get the Jergens out. Lower the lights a little bit. He's fucked in a whole other way.
Let me just fuck myself before I get fucked.
I say probably the official point of no return is probably him watching the first tape. Because that's the first time he sees the image of Bagul. And I think from what the college professor was saying, there's a lot of power in the imagery. And he like travels or opens gateways or whatever through that.
Yeah.
So that would be my guess. However, he is the corrupter of children. So if there was a way that he could keep his kids from viewing the symbology or the actual evidence or any of that, he may have been able to buy himself some time.
But still, buy all the time you want.
He's still going down eventually.
He's still fucked.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, but then what happens if you stay in that house? He can't get you.
They said that him moving out, all that did was...
speed up the process.
Right.
So that I take that as if he stays in that house, he's going to die eventually anyway.
So I have to wonder...
At the hands of Bagul.
I have to wonder this then. The family that died in the backyard, did they find videotapes in the attic and watch them? They should have, right? Because they would have moved out of the house that the previous family was barbecued in. So...
I don't know.
Following the timeline backwards.
That doesn't really get brought up.
No.
As if those other families find film.
Isn't there supposed to be a sequel to this in the works at some point?
I thought there was.
I remember discussing it somehow down the road.
Sinister 2. I mean, we're already looking at Insidious 3.
3. Chapter 3.
Come on, Sinister.
Let's get it together, Sinister.
And Bagul can be in the Terror Dome.
He'll get eaten alive.
It's true.
Yeah, he's not going to fuck with anybody.
He's a fucking ghostly...
Do any of these villains have kids? No.
He's a ghostly pedophile.
That's all he is. They don't do well in the Terror Dome. He's
good on the scaries.
They're pretty good on the creepy.
He's good on the scaries.
That's about it.
But, you know, enter the Terror Dome and...
You're going to get eaten alive, dude.
Yeah, maybe he might be Pinhead.
Crackhouse Matt's going to punch you in the face.
How you like that, Crackhouse Matt?
Ha-pow! All right,
Pinhead's
dude.
Gone.
Let's take a break and we'll get back to you with some other stuff.
Yeah.
Hands.
When the bell begins to chime, reflecting on my past life, and it doesn't have much time, 'cause at 5 o'clock they take me to the gallows pole. The sun
And we're back.
Oh!
Oh, about to get into some Terra Dome action. Before we do, we should mention that we covered Sinister in this week's episode because of, by request, from Lonely Bob in Japan.
Oh, that's right.
Who actually paid us to do it. So that's good. Hey, it's Deacon.
Deacon can signing.
Put him on the mic there.
We got a Deacon signing.
Does he feel like talking?
Deacon, how you doing today, bud?
Yeah. Tell us a little more about it. Yep.
You heard it from the baby's mouth first. Oh, you got some more?
A little bit, buddy.
You having a good day Deacon? So far?
You seen Sinister, man? You didn't like it?
Have you caught the Sinisters?
Too scary?
A little too creepies?
Yeah, he says yeah.
He says yes.
It's a little too creepy.
That's a glowing review from Deacon.
If you're 11 days old,
then
you might be a little too young to watch the
probably
Sinisters.
Probably not good for Sinister just yet.
Get some years on you first.
Yeah, right. So we did that by request from Lonely Bob. Lonely Bob also suggests that we follow Scott Derrickson on Twitter.
He's the writer director of this one.
That is correct. Let's see if he's active. Maybe
he's talking about when the sequel's coming.
At Scott Derrickson on Twitter. Uh-oh. And you, my friend, are the Padded Room Podcast Twitter follow of the week.
Booyah. Nailed it.
Let's see what he's got here. He's got some pictures.
Is it Sinister 2?
He's all tatted up.
All right.
Bad dates. They'll kill your monkey. Not sure what that's supposed to mean. He looks like a hipster. Very nice. Atticus, the head in my heart is in a jar. Don't know what that means. All right, excellent. Don't know what any of that stuff means.
But you're being followed.
You're being followed by the Padded Room Podcast. Let's get into some Terra Dome business, shall we? I got a feeling one of this week's is going to be a blowout. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well,
I have it on good authority.
We had a blowout last week.
Did. Deacon had a blowout 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, he did.
While I was holding him.
In Daddy's arms.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for that, kid. First, last week's winners. In singles action, we had Jigsaw versus Samara, and the story continues. Samara's singular weakness had been located and exploited. She was at her most vulnerable. The time between when the television comes to life and she makes her entrance into this world. Destroy the television, the tape, and anyone who knows the legend and erase Samara forever. The explosion of the warehouse pulled it off immaculately. With a vote of 13-1, Jigsaw advances over Samara.
Was that me?
You were the one. That was the one person. One person to vote for Samara. Congratulations, dude. Multiple mics. You have some team actions for us.
You wrote the teams last year.
Oh, I did, didn't I? Damn it! All right, hold on.
Who was it? Oh yeah, Gremlins.
The Blind Dead versus the Gremlins.
Blind Dead versus. That was shaping up to be a good one.
That was. That one was a lot closer. Here we are. The story continues. Dead Mogwai littered the ruins at the Castillo de San Marco. Some from rusted blade wounds, others stomped flat, all dead. The bodies of the smugglers were also present, hacked to shreds with their eyes gouged out as well. With a vote of 8-6, the blind dead advance over the gremlins. I like that. I hate the gremlins.
They're having too much fun.
It's what it is. You got to secure that happiness. You know what I mean?
A little too much partying.
A little too much funny business there. You got to take it easy on the funny business. And now this week's matchups. Why don't I start it off with some singles action? As usual, bear with me. I'm not a writer. His eyes had to be deceiving him. The newspaper article had labeled her a killer and a criminal, but he knew her for who she truly was. And now she had finally come back to him. The newspaper called her Baby Firefly, a member of the notorious Dr. Satan Killers, some kind of a thrill kill group out of South Texas. But he had known her as Elizabeta, his one and only true love. Her and her friends had been on the run for 3 weeks now. They were being hunted by a relentless sheriff, and their apprehension was drawing near. He would have to act fast if he were to save her. The sheriff could be bought, and most of her gang could be eliminated easily enough. It was just her brother that concerned Vlad. The bond siblings can share can be tough to break. The derelict psycho killer known as Otis Driftwood would have to be brought down quickly and quietly and without Baby Firefly or Elizabeta ever knowing what really happened. In singles action, we have Dracula versus Otis Driftwood. This is a no-brainer for me.
Is it Vlad that's Dracula here?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going Dracula.
Are we voting now?
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, what's my horse,
babe? Oh, it is your horse. That's right.
Give me two votes for Dracula.
You can't take two, but I'll back you up. That's two for Dracula, zero for Otis Driftwood.
Otis Driftwood, come on. You can't. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, really, what's he going to do? Is he going to shoot him?
He's going to dance at him. He's going to do the fish boy dance at him.
Could do that, too.
Little fish boy.
It's just not happening.
It's just not happening.
He's going to try to stab him. He's going to chain him up in some dingy hotel room.
Nope.
Dracula's going to bend him over and stick his dead dick right in him. That's all there is to it.
It's pretty much how it's going to go.
That's how I say. Mike, what do you got on some teams action, bub?
Okay, so I lost my notebook.
Great.
Yeah. Fucking pissed. So this is going to be off the top of the dome.
Oh, boy.
Little freestyle. Little
freestyling, huh?
Yo. So please, bear with me. I'm just ranting here.
Go. Rant away, my friend.
So in rural Atlanta, group of 20-somethings take a weekend trip up to the forest, the wooded area there, to a cousin's cabin. You got Randy, you got Courtney, you got Scott. Watch out for Scott, by the way.
Is he gonna get handsy on you?
You got Ruben, and you got Stephanie. You got and their friend. They have to bring Ash with them.
Oh yeah, of course.
Ash is along for the ride. Well, he you can't have a party in the woods in a cabin without Ash.
That's right.
So they get up there. They get up there in the cabin. Night's going along well. You know, they're exploring the woods there, but they got no electricity, and night falls, and old Randy. Randy, what I say about him.
They don't call him Randy for nothing.
He comes across the dusty. Oh, this book has got some years on it, right?
Right.
You can't really tell the title. All you can see on the cover is Ex Mortis.
Okay.
Right. So Randy's intrigued, but he's alone when he finds it. He opens the fucker up, and he's taken some college studies in Latin and whatnot. And there's one passage that he reads. That's you.
Conda. That's all I remember from the passage.
He says that three times. And little does he know, he just opened a fucking rift in the portal to, you know, nether realms and all that shit. And basically the Deadites are here.
Okay.
And, well, all this time they're in the fucking woods, virus breaks out in Atlanta there.
Okay.
And, well, you know, the hordes of zombies are approaching. The Deadites basically kill off these 20-somethings.
Okay.
And the hordes of zombies are creeping in.
Okay. So you have...
You got the zombies, your basic zombies, right? That's right. That's what it was?
Whatever.
Basic zombies versus the Deadites.
Okay.
Oh, kids, hold on to your butts.
That's a tough one. Because, I mean, so? Really, they're not that dissimilar, really.
They're not.
Just,
but one is of this world, one is not of this world.
Deadites, I mean, can use, like, they use, like, military tactics and siege weapons, things of that nature.
But the zombies, what they got going is numbers. Hordes and hordes and numbers. Hordes of...
I think I'm going zombies, dude.
All right, I go Deadites.
All right, that's one for the zombies, one for the Deadites. Inmates, get us your votes by next week. As usual, the mental health hotline is 206-309-9117. Get us on the regular old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter and tweet us your votes. @PaddedRoomPod is the way to go.
Yep.
That's how you do it. Or you know what? You don't have to vote on this crap. If you just want to write in or call in and tell us to fuck off, or hey, got a sexy voice there, multiple mics.
That's what we're, yeah, please. You know,
just a little encouragement.
Drop us a line.
Just let us know you're out there.
I mean, hello.
Hello.
Just email a hello.
Hey, how's it going?
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton for the thing there.
You guys are doing this battle thing?
Take LeVar Burton.
Over the rainbow?
Yeah, you know. That's it for the Terror Dome. Let's do some, what are you looking at there, tough guy?
Oh, cripes.
What are you looking at?
You watch anything this week, Multiple Mics?
Nope.
Me neither. I tried, man. I just can't. I sit down to watch something, and then I fall asleep.
Well, you got a baby on your hands.
Goddamn baby.
Zapping the energy.
I'm going to kick that baby's
ass. I remember that. But tonight.
What are you going to watch tonight?
Have
you started watching The Strain yet? It's already on FX.
Is that out now?
It's on,
that's the Guillermo del Toro 2 there.
Yeah, it's the vampire thing. I see previews for it all the time. The
teases for it are good.
I think this is the second week.
Really?
Yeah. I might see if I can catch up to it on demand or something.
But tonight.
We got tonight.
If I get my homeworks done, I'm going to try to go to the theater and watch a little Deliver Us From Evil.
I heard that was good.
With Eric Bana?
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
Everybody I know that's seen that said it was pretty good.
It looks good.
Yeah. I think I'm going to wait till next weekend and go check out The Purge Anarchy.
Well, I got a girl. Yeah, this girl, I went to the movie. It wasn't a horror movie.
Why are you lying to me? You don't have a girl.
Well, me and her were friends.
Yeah, okay. So what are you going to do? You going to go see The Purge?
She's big into The Purge. She says like the first one freaked her out.
Didn't freak me out. It didn't really freak me out.
The thing that she said was because it had a sense of reality to it where, like, in the future, maybe this could happen.
You know, if you think about The Purge as just like a theory, it actually kind of makes sense.
Doesn't it?
Right? I mean, animals are going to go out there and kill themselves. Next day, you're going to have hundreds of job openings, thousands of job openings, plus work to be done with the cleanup and the, you know, damage restoration and all that.
Yeah.
Well, it does kind of make sense. I mean, I'm not saying you should go kill anybody, but if that's what you want to do, then... so yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That doesn't open until next week.
She really wants to see that Purge Anarchy with me.
Yeah, I think that's going to be like my summer franchise for a while.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because I went and saw the first one in the theater. Maybe I'll round up Nicole or something. I watched Last House in the Woods from 2012. It's basically a really shitty Italian version of Last House on the Left. you know, these punk kids get accosted by these local toughs, and then this couple comes in and saves them, and then you find out the couple's actually a bunch of psychos, and they got like a whole family of mutants. So, I get what they're going for. It just didn't really do much for me. Also watched Spirit Trap from 2010. College kids staying in an old house, weird stuff going on, find an old grandfather clock. It's got the chick from Penny Dreadful in it. She's pretty hot, but other than that, really not much to report this week other than those two. That's about all I got on the what are you looking at. How about some immersion therapy then? Did you get a chance to watch The Returned?
I did not.
Shocking.
Right.
Immersion therapy.
Last week we watched The Returned from 2013. Not a good movie. Not a good movie at all.
You wonder why.
Well, here's the thing,
why I don't watch them.
I mean, Kreese nailed it on the head. It was basically an allegory to the AIDS virus. Yeah. Basically, conceptually it's something different because you have zombie apocalypse type of situation. We find a cure for zombieism. We have to administer these injections. But the problem is that if the zombies don't get their injections, then they revert back to zombiness. So now our story picks up with this young couple. He's one of the quote-unquote returned, meaning he was a zombie that came back. Medical supplies are running low. He can't get his injections. Across the board, none of these people can get their injections. So certain facets of the government want to round them up and put them in like concentration camps and keep them segregated because they will become dangerous if, you know, they revert. But then it becomes like an equal, like a civil rights issue, and they have to go underground because he doesn't want to get put in one of these camps. Dude, can you just do me a favor and keep your fucking politics to yourself? You know what I mean? I mean, I get it. George Romero got away with it, and it kind of made him who he is.
Yeah.
John Carpenter did too, to a certain extent. It worked for them. It's not going to work for everybody. And when you slap me in the face with it like this, then it's just a fucking turnoff. It was also full of anti-Big Pharma messages and,
oh, yeah.
You know, these things should be free for everybody, and how dare you charge people for medicine and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, right.
So I say no. Also, a very hipster movie.
Was it?
Yeah, dude, you got like 50-year-old guys with 22-year-old haircuts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You got guys spending a shit ton of money to make it look like they didn't spend any money on clothing. Just a hipster. Just fuck a blasted colon full of hipster on this one. Oh, hipster suppository. That's what I'm going to call this movie.
Slide it right up that pooper.
Not a good show, man. Not a good show. I say nay to The Returned.
I don't think there's been a good immersion therapy since I came back.
It's been a while. I don't know. Well, Alan liked Escape from Tomorrow. So,
but he was the only one, and everybody else basically shit on it.
I didn't pick that one, by the way. That was Irma Gersh, even though I'm taking credit for it.
Well.
So there's that. Your immersion therapy for this week is going to be Thale. T-H-A-L-E, from 2012. This is a Norwegian picture starring Silje Renomo and Erlend Nevold, directed by Alexander Nordros.
Did that just come out of your
mouth? Yeah.
Just slid right out of your mouth? You didn't pronounce it, it just slid out of your mouth.
I just spit it out.
Wait, let me ask, is this one subtitled?
I don't know. I know, you're illiterate, it's fine. You haven't watched an immersion therapy in like 12 weeks anyway.
I want to get on it.
Yeah, you do.
Thale?
Thale.
The fuck is this Thale?
It has something to do with these excavators that uncover a creature.
All right.
So there you have it. Right. Thale, 2012. Check that out. Let us know what you think. I'll do the same. Mike will come up with an excuse not to. Let's get into some werewolf action, dude.
Company of Wolves.
My exercise for the week is sleeping. That's all I do, man. I get a couple hours to myself. I take a fucking nap because that's the only time I'm gonna get a chance to take a fucking nap. What about you? You doing anything?
Nap it up.
You do.
I do. I get the 8 a.m. class out of the way.
Yeah. Is that now? You have that every day or
Monday through Thursday? So I get Friday off. Yeah, dude.
That's rough, man. So what's that? You got to wake up at like 6:30, right? Fucking
yeah. I wake up at 6:30.
Not interested.
Shovel 2 cups of coffee down the gullet. Sometimes I skip the shower.
See, I would do that too, but if I did that, I would shit my pants halfway through the class.
Well, I don't leave the house
until I shit.
I got to shit because I did that once. I left, went to campus, parked up at campus, and was like, oh. Shit. I got a shit.
Penguin.
So I was late for class because I spent 5 to 10 minutes shitting in the bathroom.
Yeah. That's why I got to be careful with the coffee, dude. Get any exercise in or no?
No.
Gersh is having a problem with his knees. That fucking sucks.
He's got some inflammation.
Dude, alternate ice and heat. Stay off him as much as you can. Dude, if walking is going to blow you out like that, then don't do it.
Can you drain it, Gersh?
Would you drain it?
He said it's all inflamed.
Squishy, right?
And he said, yeah, he did say squishy.
That was the exact word that he used, was squishy.
Which made me think, fucking drain that fucker.
He said it's swollen, too, so.
Pop a needle in there and just drain that fucker.
I had something similar to that once, dude. It was, I had to change a tire, so I was, like, down on my knees for, like, 20 minutes fucking around. I got home from work that night, and I just had, like, a big blood blister right on my knee. It was so gross.
Did you drain it?
Yeah, I drained it. I just ended up just, like, slashing it open. And then yeah. It's gross anyway.
Bloodletting.
Disgusting. Weird blisters. Plus,
Gershie said he was getting those cortisone shots.
Yeah.
He wasn't getting them anymore, though, because...
It actually makes the problem worse. All cortisone is a painkiller.
Yeah.
And when you do that on a regular basis, the pain comes back even worse because you're not feeling the damage that you're doing to yourself.
Right.
Which is not a good thing.
So report back to us, Gersh.
Gersh, get to us. Let us know what's going on with them knees.
Come on, Gershie.
Come on, Gershie.
Gershie.
What else we got? Alan said he spent 45 minutes in a mosh pit. That's good time. That's
a good exercise right there.
That's a hell of a workout, dude.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Even if you're not thrashing around, just standing in there and getting, you know, just the heat and the funk of everybody else, you'll lose 6 pounds.
Yeah.
Just in body move, like sweat and funk right there.
It'll just lose. Yeah, you'll lose some good poundage.
Last mosh pit I was in, I was at Marilyn Manson, I think.
Did they mosh there?
There wasn't much of a pit in that one. The good one, though, was Mastodon.
Yeah.
I saw Ghost, Opeth, and Mastodon. I went there by myself. Took a beating. I got knocked on my ass.
Good terms.
Yeah, it is. That's a hell of a workout, though. I wonder if there's... Maybe we should put out like some kind of an exercise mosh tape or something that you could do in your living room.
What?
Just you. Just by yourself.
Just get some friends over and...
No. Do it by yourself. Tape. Just...
you got your dummy in your garage.
Yeah, just keep...
You can put that guy in.
Just keep bumping into him.
Have Ragnar and Reagan running around you in circles.
Oh, yeah. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. It's fine.
You just run into some walls.
I think that's about all we got on the week. Inmates, you got anything else, Mike?
No.
Not sure?
I don't.
Alrighty.
Deliver us for me. Hopefully I get to see it.
You're going to try and go tonight, huh?
I'll try to get my homeworks done.
Yeah, get your homework done.
I got till
you know what?
Tomorrow morning for that.
We didn't check the tweets.
Well, you tweeted late, didn't you?
I did. I tweeted like halfway through. Let's see if anybody came in here.
Coming in hot.
Thought I saw something. Oh, here comes Chris. The Dunwich Horror was the movie Multiple Mics was trying to think of last week.
You remember?
Yeah.
That was. Thank you, Chris.
You're like, it's a movie with a guy in a house and he's dreaming about stuff.
The H.P. Lovecraft movie that sucked.
It did suck.
It did.
Dean Stockwell.
They had some flashbacks. Wasn't there some like half-naked chicks and it still sucked?
And I read that story like 2 weeks ago. It has nothing to do with anything in that movie at all whatsoever.
It's kind of like that Raven one we watched.
Which one?
Or was it The Mirror? No, The
Mirror.
The Oval Portrait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a show
for Edgar Allan Poe. Yeah, that's true to its content.
Of course. Right up there with the disco shirts and the medallions. Fucking knuckleheads. All right, inmates, I think that's going to be a show for us. Get to us next week. Let us know what you think. As usual, you know, all that stuff with the... I'm just going to edit that out. At this point, I'm pretty much just talking to hear myself talk.
Hey-o!
For the Padded Room Podcast, my name is Darian. I'm multiple mics. I'm afraid visiting hours are over.